Well, friends, we're going to wrap up our series on prayer this morning. And over the past 2 weeks, we've been tackling the subject of prayer. We've asked three questions over the last 3 weeks. Why should we pray when God knows everything? And last week, we had a look at why pray when praying is so hard. If you missed those talks, they are available on our church website, and you can download them for free, for mahala, for nothing, and you can listen to them. This morning, we're going to have a look at why pray when I don't know how to pray. And perhaps some of you feel this morning that you wish you could pray better. You wish you could pray in the right way so that your prayers are effective. Well, this morning, I want to look at really just two verses in this passage in Philippians. We could have gone to many other places in God's Word to look at the subject of prayer. And in fact, we could have looked at Luke chapter 11, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." So even Jesus' disciples wanted to be taught how to pray. And Jesus says in verse 2, and he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Now that's a wonderful example of how to pray. And we have tackled that on previous occasions in our Bible study groups. But I want to pick up on another passage this morning. Another very well-known passage, and that's this passage in Philippians chapter 4. And I want you just to have a look at verse 6 and verse 7, where Paul actually tells us here how we should pray. So have a look at those two verses with me. So Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, as we've mentioned over the past few weeks, it's important that we pray. But in this passage, Paul gives us some very good reasons, not only why we should pray, but how we should pray. And I want to have a look at a couple of those this morning. First question I want to ask is, when should we pray? Often our prayers are directed, as we mentioned last week, by our needs and our wants. And so if I have no needs or wants at this current point in time, I do not pray. If I want God to give me something, then I naturally pray to God. And I say, "Lord, I need this, give it to me. And I need that, so I pray." I close my eyes, I perhaps even get into the so-called right posture to pray and get on my knees. Often when we pray like this, we grow disappointed, don't we, when God doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we like it. Remember last week we had a look at Paul and how Paul pleaded with God to remove the thorn in his flesh, but God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Sometimes we grow disappointed when we pray and we don't get what we want. But notice what Paul says here in verse 6. If you've got your Bibles open, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything," Paul says, "present your requests to God." Do you see what Paul is saying here? When should we pray? When we're worried and concerned about things. No doubt many of you are worried and concerned about various things that are happening. Perhaps you're worried and concerned about the state of our country, how it seems to be going down the tube. What does Paul say? Pray. Many of you are worried about your families, perhaps for their safety, perhaps because they do not know the Lord. What does Paul say we should do? Pray. You might be worried about exams or about this next semester at college. You might be worried about money that doesn't go as far as it should be. Your car might be giving you grief. Perhaps you're struggling at work, or perhaps you don't have work. And so the list could go on and on and on. But what does Paul say? Don't worry about those things. Don't be anxious about them. But in everything, bring your requests to God. I think often we actually forget that. Yes, we know it. We've heard it 100 times. But we forget it. And we turn to God really as a last resort. When we've tried every other avenue, then we turn to God in prayer. Often we use the word stressed out to hide behind the fact that we are worried and concerned about something. We feel sorry for ourselves. We want others to feel sorry for us, to commiserate with us. But did you notice Paul's opposites in this verse? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Two opposites. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, present your requests to God. In other words, the time to pray is not as a last resort, but the moment we start to worry about something. Not months later down the line. Not after consulting lots of people, as good as that might be. Not after having sleepless nights. But when the issue first raises its head. Just like in that song that we sang, "What a Friend I Have in Jesus." Can you remember the words of the second verse? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Notice also that we are to take, notice also what we are to take to God in prayer. It's not just some things. It's not just the things that tickle our fancy or when we want something from God. Paul tells us we are to bring everything to God in prayer. And that word everything is not a limited word, is it? It's an all-inclusive word, a word that means nothing can be skipped over. I've heard people tell me that they won't bother God with this or that problem because it's really not that big a problem. So I'm not going to worry God with it. Others have told me that the problem is too complicated to bring to God and, well, yeah, I'll sort it out on my own. Still others say that God has many other issues to worry about. Why would he be worried about mine? So I'm not going to burden God with them. Well, Paul says, what are we to pray about? Everything. Regardless of the magnitude of the issue, whether it's big or small, whether it's an insignificant little issue to us, or whether it's a huge issue to us, Paul says, present your requests to God. But notice also that not only when we should pray, but how should we pray? And this is my second point. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, present your requests to God. But notice, he actually tells us how to pray here. In verse 6, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do you notice the three elements that Paul is telling us that we should bring to God? Prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. Now often I think we do need to define these words, and we're going to define these words in a moment. But often we use the words prayer and petition almost synonymously to mean exactly the same thing. Oh, did you pray this morning? Or did you bring your petitions to God this morning? And we really speak about the same idea. But I think there's actually a significant difference between those two words. In the original Greek that the Bible was written in, there are two words that are used here by Paul. It's not the same word that has just been translated in two different ways. It is two different words. And generally, even in the English language where words overlap, they often have slightly different understandings and meanings in the words, and it's exactly the same here. The word prayer really speaks about a reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks about talking to God. One commentator says it speaks about a humble reliance on God. In other words, that we bring our prayers to God. We come before God in humility, realizing that we cannot do these things on our own. It's not so much about the way we do pray, so whether we close our eyes or not, or whether we kneel by the side of our bed or not. It's more about trusting in God and coming to God and talking to Him. The word prayer also carries with it ideas of praising God, of confessing before God, and of sharing with God. In fact, is that not what the Lord taught us in the prayer that He taught us to say? You remember that He said that we should forgive those and ask God to forgive us. And so we pray to God. Paul is trying to tell us here is that presenting our requests to God should not be that panic at the last second, but it should be a regular godly habit that we do day by day. Paul wants us to rely on God and pray, pray, pray. You might remember that old children's song that was sung years and years ago, read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow, grow, grow. Paul is telling us that prayer is to be something that must be done regularly. In fact, in one of Paul's other letters, in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, pray without ceasing. That's largely the idea of prayer. Coming before God, recognizing our fact that we cannot do things without Him, humbly coming before Him and requesting from Him. The idea of petition, on the other hand, is, and some Bible translations use the word supplication, but both of them have very similar ideas. That is to bring our worries and our concerns to God, asking Him for the things that are on our mind. And normally, the things that are on our mind are the things that worry us. Now, we do need to be careful here that when we pray to God in petitions, when we ask God for things, we remember that we come into Him in prayer. We come into Him humbly. So we cannot stand up and shout at God and demand things from God. We need to pray in a humble way, relying on God, but bringing our requests to Him. We're not asking God like a toddler asks his parent when they're walking down the sweet aisle, but as sinners who have been saved from death. Again, the Lord taught us to pray that God's will be done in heaven as it is on earth. So our prayers and our petitions are to be offered to God. But I wonder if you notice the third element in what Paul says, how our prayers should be, and perhaps a very surprising element here. Paul says that this item should cover all our prayers, because he says in verse 6 that we are to bring everything before God by prayer and petition. And notice what he says, with thanksgiving. All our prayers are to be overshadowed with thanksgiving. William Shakespeare once wrote, "The beggar that I am even poor in thanks." And often our prayers are like that, aren't they? We never thank God for our prayers. All we do is ask, ask, ask. And we have very little thanksgiving in our prayers. But perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, what have I to be thankful for? My life is an absolute mess. My marriage is breaking up. My finances are tight. My health is bad. How can I thank God for those things? I'm the only Christian in my family. How can I thank God for that? And this country? Well, how can I thank God for my country? Well, Paul says our prayers should be covered with thanksgiving. Remember that when Paul is writing this letter to Philippians, he is not sitting in his lounge in front of his computer or his laptop or his tablet writing this letter. He's sitting in a cold, dungy, dark prison, probably chained to a guard. No doubt the floor is cold and his rear end is not as warm as it should be. No doubt he's hungry. We know that he was awaiting trial before Caesar, and possibly his execution. Yet Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Yes, it is hard sometimes to give thanks. But sometimes when I'm in struggling with various issues, I sometimes find it helpful to look at those who are worse off than myself. If I'm struggling financially, well, look to those who do not have work. Suddenly, I'm not in such a bad place, and I can thank God that I at least have a job. In our marriages, perhaps there are people here who are struggling with marriages, perhaps already in broken marriages. How can we thank God for that? Well, no doubt there are people who are worse off, who are in worse positions. Perhaps you have a house that you live in. There are many who have broken marriages who have nowhere to live. So thank God for the house, or whatever it might be. There are many things wrong with our country, and I think we'll all agree with that. But thank God that we are still free to meet with Him. Some countries we cannot do what we are doing now at this moment, meeting together as God's people. We are able to share the gospel freely in this country, without fear of being imprisoned or attacked. And we can thank the Lord for that. But I think there's much more than just comparing our situations. I think we've got a lot more to be thankful for. And we can thank God for these things, whether I feel like it or not. Because if I'm a Christian, I've actually got a hang of a lot to thank God for, haven't I? Regardless of whatever situation I find myself in. Gerard Crispin, who's written a commentary on Philippians, has this to say, and I quote, "Thank God that He is there for you all the time. Thank God that you know Him if you are a Christian. Thank God that He listens to you. Thank God that your problem, however big or small it might be, is not an eternal problem that's going to remove you from heaven. Thank God that He is powerful enough to solve your problem when the time is right. Thank God that He will give you grace to cope with your problem. Thank God that through this situation you are learning to trust Him." And of course the list could go on and on and on. But if you are a true Christian, if you believe that Jesus died for you and gave His life for you, How can you not be thankful? Each of us are heading to death unless we turn to Christ. Each of us will be punished because of the sin in our lives, unless we turn to Christ, who gave his life for us, so that we might have life. How can we not be thankful for what God has done for us? So friends, what I want to suggest to you this morning is that praying is not something special or holy that we do. Praying should flow naturally out of our worries and our concerns, out of our anxious thoughts, not as a last resort, but as the first port of call. Our praying should be humble, but thankful, confessing to God that we are sinners, but asking him for his help. Now, as we draw things to a close this morning, one last comment, or one last question, really. Why should we pray? We've looked at when we should pray, when we have anxious thoughts. We've looked at how we should pray, with prayer, petition, and with thanksgiving. But why should we pray? Well, notice the results that God says comes about after we've prayed. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a hang of a lot in this verse, and we could be here all day discussing it. But I want us to see what the result of prayer is. When we are anxious and worried and concerned about things, when we come to God in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, presenting our requests to God, we receive his peace. In fact, it's a peace that's beyond understanding, because you can't really define it. Sometimes when you're in a difficult situation, someone will say, how can you be so calm about the situation that you're in? That is the peace that God gives us. We can't explain it. It's beyond human understanding. But when we give our problems, our worries, our concerns to God, it's as if the whole burden is lifted off our shoulders. And even though we might still go through that situation, we are at peace about it. See, I've experienced that personally in my own life just this year. I was going through a couple of issues, praying to God, asking God to help us with those issues, to help me with those issues. And not all of them are resolved yet. Some of them are still ongoing, and I still have things that I need to work through. But I've experienced a peace about them. It doesn't mean that I now just sit back and let things go, being a fatalist, as it were. But it means that as I work at those problems, I know that everything is in God's hands. It's in his control. And whatever happens, I know that it's going to work out for the glory of God and my ultimate salvation in Christ, growing to be like him. I can't explain it more than that. It's beyond understanding, but I've experienced peace as I go through trials. Now, no doubt many of you have experienced that peace as well, as you've prayed to God about something. Perhaps you were going in for an operation. Perhaps you were struggling financially and you prayed and you brought this problem to God. And you've experienced a peace about it, a peace that you cannot explain. And that's wonderful, and that's what Paul's talking about. But I'm sure there's also folk here this morning who have never experienced the peace of God in their lives as they go through these struggles. Perhaps today God is talking to you and telling you, come, turn your life over to me. Let me deal with your worries and your concerns. Bring them to me in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, so that you too might receive the peace of God. Of course, we only receive God's peace when we truly follow Christ. But the benefit is there. if we're worrying about things, if we're anxious about things, and I'm a true follower of Christ, and I bring them to the Lord, He will give me a peace that is beyond understanding. I think it would be appropriate this morning, as we close off our time together, that we actually pray the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray, which is in fact exactly what Paul was talking about in these two verses, that we should come before God acknowledging who He is humbly. We should ask Him for forgiveness. We should be with Him and thank Him for what He's done as we present our requests to God. So let's pray together. As we pray the thing, the prayer is on the screen. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.